You are listening to Jaya Ashmore. You can find hundreds of meditations and talks on my websites, jayaashmore.org, jayaashmore.org, as well as opendharma.org, opendharma.org. All the recordings are offered in the tradition of generosity or dana, and your gifts are welcome. Thank you for listening. Inviting a looseness into your hips, if you wish. Letting the body, again, like a pillow that you've just fluffed up and set down, so the body can have a bit more space and ground. Letting our ideas of the body and images of the body kind of just slip away like a stream that's just flowing downstream, letting it go. Leaving room for now. And again, feeling there may be some ideas of now, letting that slip away like a stream. Just allowing this impossible to happen again and again, that here we are. Loose hips, maybe. Letting there simply be some space for living. And so when the ideas, memories, images crowd around and in, feeling how that feels and letting it go, not replacing the crowd of images and ideas with something else, just leaving some room for life. For now.
arriving just now in the room, arriving today in this place, in this retreat. Getting a bit straight inside ourselves about what freedom is. Feeling how easily we could start to construct a sense that freedom is doing what I want when I want, having it be how I want it to be, making my mind be silent, making my body be relaxed. Feeling what freedom means, if it's not about force. But maybe discovering. Feeling what helps you, like, rest the head and heart down near or in the spring of aliveness just now. Resting from getting it right or wrong. Resting from checking how you're doing. Is it good? Is it bad? Is it okay? Not okay? Resting from inventing how it should be and how it is, and just finding what helps leave space for what is. Just leaving space for that water to come up out of the ground, clear and fresh and uncatchable. Little stream of aliveness, yours, not yours. If you find your way that helps you, rest the head, the heart, the body, the doing right near or in that sort of spring of aliveness. If you find your own way with that, please follow your own way. And in case now or some other time it's hard to find your own way, I give some suggestions now. So staying with your own way if it's really in flow and not listening to me if you're in your flow. Softening the body, especially maybe the back. Softening and allowing life to flow into the back and fill it and overflow through. The sides and middle of the back. The length of the back, the wholeness softening. Welcome to be as it is. A bit solid, a bit transparent. And with the fullness of the back open and here, perhaps falling into contact with the lower belly, perhaps the very low belly in the pelvic bowl. Quietly just inside the lower belly for a while, if you wish, with the still a sense of the fullness of back, softening, widening, lengthening, filling, being itself. Maybe even as we kind of curl inside the lower belly, we can let the back, the sense of the back might be very wide and tall. It might even seem to spread out to the horizons all on each side. So there could be a feeling of quietness and warmth, a sense of gathering together in the lower belly. And with sort of the back of our mind, we could still feel the back of the body, which might be quite expansive. as we let that more, the expanse of back stay kind of clearly present in the background, staying with and in the lower belly, coming back to the lower belly. As if the head really rests down into our own lap. The tired old idea factory just resting down. Almost like the lower body is a valley, and so that the tensions of the head and neck and throat, ears, back of the head, eyes, mouth, shoulders, are just gradually pouring down, releasing down into the valley of the lower belly, lower body. You can let the head, the brain, the senses relax, if possible. The alertness of the ears, eyes, mouth, nose. To go to sleep. So the tensions, the lines of tension that are looking out for danger, looking out for attention, confirmation, juice, that can go quiet and slip down into the lower body, kind of reverse its direction. And also if that kind of emotional heart is feeling battered, tired, busy, overused, can also relax, go to sleep, turn off, and reverse the flow from looking out for acceptance or love or confirmation. Safety, okayness, and go to sleep. Rest and pour down into the valley of the lower belly, lower body. So just as a practice, noticing what kind of comes on, where the programming turns what on in the heart and in the brain, in the senses, in the throat, in the shoulders. Programming that maybe wants to try to be so helpful to protect us, to get us ahead, etc. It just keeps coming on and we can keep asking it to sleep for a while. Certainly, programming is not freedom. So just we can make an experiment of asking the programming to softly go to sleep, close its eyes, unplug, let the energy drain down inward for a while. And we can feel what turns the programming on gradually. Often it's fear. Maybe fear disguised as boredom, or being right or being wrong. We can just feel those ripples, those waves happen, and then sort of undo it. Reverse the wave, untie the tangle, the knot. Or rather, let it come untied. Feeling the tension, feeling all the doing involved in the automatic programming, the reactivity. How the programming is using your living body and mind. And it doesn't really feel good. Doesn't feel like ease or welcome. And being welcome in the lower body or the lower belly or your place that feels more like being at home. A deep home, a light-hearted home. Or more quiet, or more joyful, less tangled, less right or wrong, somewhere untouched by right and wrong. Staying there, staying here, coming back there, coming back here. Letting here come back alive as we turn off the programming again and again. We notice the thinking, the emotion, the tension. We feel how it doesn't feel easeful, doesn't feel good on our system. Maybe we can turn it off and slide back down underneath all of that involvement and busyness, worry, etc. Deep welcome in the lower belly, lower body, and a deep welcome of the lower belly and lower body, or your home place, your joy place. Your quiet place. The clear expanse of the back in the background. Expansive. Stillness. warm, round lower body, lower belly. Maybe warmth or coziness or a feeling that it's nourishing to be here. That you're really met here. The support of being here in the lower body, lower belly. So we can really relax and rest into that support. Really allowed to be here as we are, as it is. Lying down in our inner valley that just perfectly fits. Absolutely welcome. Allowing nourishment to come through. Staying, coming back, quietly noticing that even as the mind seems to go away and come back, something is still sort of keeping track and staying connected in the lower body, lower belly. Something realizes, oh, I've been distracted. And can tune, fold back into the flow of experience in lower belly, lower body. Just staying. And tending the quality of staying. Feeling when staying is getting forceful. When staying becomes an idea. And letting that go. Trying for other kinds of staying. Where there's a feeling of really wanting to just lie down in there. Stretch out, spread out, be in full contact, receiving the experience of lower belly or lower body or your place. It feels good. There's an attraction towards more contact, more spreading into. As if we would just find that spot on the earth that just fits our body, and we really lie in there and feel held and here and open, blessed. And sometimes we may feel it's almost as if our habits, the habit energy, the habits of controlling and holding, the tensions, the programming, sometimes there are little kind of landslides where that just forgets itself, falls apart, releases a bit. And so habits of sort of holding in the body, in the tissues, sometimes just like the banks of a river just fall. And allow more gravity to be in the lower body, lower belly. In the quietness. So it's not something we can make happen or even really invite except by just staying. By the spring of aliveness, maybe in the lower belly or in your place. It's a natural happening, not something we need to make happen. The programming just caves in. Tension in the chest, trying to get it right, just falls down. So not staying as obedience, but staying as love, or as it feels good. Allowing a subtle feeling good in the aliveness to have you. Slowly, gradually. And so that there's thinking is not so important, except as a chance to learn what it feels like to be a little bit less connected, to be caught up in programming, to feel that in the substance of the body. To feel what that particular interference feels like. If it feels exciting or dull, if it lifts and pushes you forward or back, or shuts you down or whatever, speeds you up. Just feeling that in the substance of the body and sliding back down into home, into welcome. And letting that there be a big welcome for you, for all that you think you are bringing here, for all of life, as it is just now, as it shows up, as it bubbles up, known and unknown. For all the body as it is, that all of those clouds of sensation. A big welcome that allows thinking when it's, we realize there's a bunch of thinking that's been going on for half an hour or whatever. A welcome of thinking, just allowing and forgiving that programming. And also not making it be like the central thing that's going on. It's just one thing that's happening on the side. A big welcome for all of life. Thinking is a small part. And so maybe resting back with room for everything, including sounds. And maybe even feeling the space that the sounds describe. And our little body in that space, just a warm kind of spot there in that spaciousness. And a steady, warm thread of connection in the lower belly, lower body, within the spaciousness. And the more we just simply stay with that thread of connection, allowing the thread of connection to continue by itself as much as possible, as little effort as possible, the more we stay with that continuity, the more the holding, the tension of the programming can fall apart by itself, leaving us with some more looseness. Openness, groundedness. Ease. And sometimes a lot of energy, we can allow that as well. And sometimes there can start to be a subtle atmosphere of quietness, or of a quiet joy, or of here-ness, or of spaciousness. And when that comes, we can just sort of let that be like a sponge that we get absorbed into. a big sponge that absorbs. Brightness or fluidity or stillness, at homeness. Letting your being be receptive to that kind of subtle magnetic pull to be at home. Or to be clear or still or whatever the quality might be. And the fact that there's still distraction in the mind and heart isn't actually an obstacle to this subtle attraction, doesn't need to be. Are there any questions or anything to share before we have the walking meditation instructions?
How do you feel about people doing standing meditation in here?
Perfect. He asked about standing meditation. That's fine. It's just that it would be whatever posture in stillness. Standing is lovely.
Before you started somehow the guiding meditation with the lower belly to stay, for those who are already with their awareness, at their awareness somehow.
In your flow in whatever way.
Yeah. Only to listen or would be abstracted even.
Yeah, don't listen if you're in your flow.
Okay.
That's what I said.
I'm
So, should I be watching the pain?
Let's see, is it something that you have for a long time? It's only happening lying down? It's, what's the context?
Sometimes I have it, but I think it's just from lying down.
I would suggest you try lying face down. And that'll, you'll need the right amount of cushions for that. But then you could even sort of orient things so that that part of your back is open.
So it's not, so dealing with pain should not really be part of it.
If you don't have pain, like some people have pain no matter what, and then that's no problem to meditate with. But if there can be not pain, like if we don't want to make an association between pain and meditation. Yeah. And so if it's induced by posture, then we need to experiment around posture. Yeah. So it could be also having your feet as well higher, like the whole leg supported up more. It could be. And it could also be important what you're doing with your arms. But I would suggest first trying lying face down. So probably, you know, a whole cushion down the main body and head, and probably something. Maybe I'll just show you how I do that, which might not be how you do. Something like that. So you have basically under your ear the right height of cushion, a small cushion, so that your neck is not too turned and you can still be. If you wanted to see that and you couldn't, anybody, I can do it again. You could stand up if you want. It's also on the board today, but where the arms are will make a lot of difference after about 20 minutes or so. It's just so cool how the smallest adjustments make a lot of difference. So just now the cushion is not round. The cushion is also 17 years old, which is awesome. And just rotating it meant like a significant improvement in terms of the release for me. So having it where it ended on my legs, basically. And it's very curious how for many of us, there's just like an unwillingness to bring that kind of tenderness to posture. Like it feels like maybe it's too much of a beginner thing that I would bother with my cushions. I should just, maybe we have an idea, we should just kind of like unfold into full lotus. And if we can't, we should just somehow like dive into some perfect posture. Whatever the reason, it really is so worthwhile not to bring in perfectionism, but to just simply feel the body for a while and to feel where it's not going to work. And that's going to like trouble your meditation, which you can deal with. If you find after 20 minutes that it, oops, that's not, it's not perfect or whatever, there's some discomfort, that's, you don't need to move unless it's really painful. You can be with that, and there can be a deeper quiet that doesn't mind those discomforts, which is beautiful. And we're just rotating a cushion 90 degrees just reminds us of a kind of relief and release that we're not used to being reminded of. It's just really important. We're just, if we were reminded of that release all the time, we wouldn't, it wouldn't be so important. We're hardly ever reminded of that. So just that we can do it so easily. The angle of the cushion under your ear, is it like this? Is it like this? Or whatever other way. Is this going to be too slippery, actually? So then let's see. And it's also so cool to watch how the mind goes with this. Because we might feel a sense, oh, there's not enough stuff to work with, so I'll just, I better just, you know, not make a fuss and kind of. But yeah, okay, there's what there is. There's not more than that. Here we are. The other side about being in the middle of nowhere is there's not a cushion shop next door. What this, actually, I know, like receiving that, the body could feel right away, this is a bit slippery. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't work. But that animal sense, like it's too slippery. It's gonna slide out of place. It's not, what, then the mind is like, oh, look, suddenly a blanket becomes a cushion. Something we could never have comes up. So feeling what would be supportive and then noticing where we stop ourselves, we think, oh, there's not enough stuff. Or, and we think maybe something's wrong with me that I can't just deal with this or something. This sort of sense of lack comes, it creeps in and stops the openness, freedom, the intelligence from happening in just this simple but so important ways. While we're on it, let's just talk about the hands a little bit. If you've been on retreats before, you've heard me talk about how for many people where the hands are can be really a big help for meditation. So the inner knees is one place that can be really good for a foot or a hand on one or on both. There could also be this, the upper arm and the opposite inner knee. It's from the Japanese art of Jinshin Jutsu. Any finger or thumb or more than one while you're meditating. It's a free treatment. And then there's one that's a little bit, it's not really complicated, but it might not always be comfortable for a whole meditation, but it can be really helpful, especially if you really feel like you need to drain your personality, energy. So, it could be like this. It can be nice having a bit of a cushion wedged under the shoulder of the arm that's above. It could be some, for some, depending on your body, that the elbow needs something softer so that the nerve doesn't get pressed. Of course, the elbow can be down also. There's one that I do lying on my belly that's a little bit of a twist, but it's a really good one, I'll show you. So I put my, if I have my right leg straight, my left leg bent, if you want to stand up, feel free. I have the back of my right hand on my right hip.
my left hand on my left inner knee. And you can use clothing to hold the hand on so that the whole thing can relax. Okay? That's... You can, stick my hand in my pants. Wrap the hand on, whatever. I've never done that, but if you're sitting, for example, and it feels good holding your thumb, which can be really helpful for quieting compulsive thinking, then it can make a kind of hammock for the arms if they're not, depending on everyone's body is different. So it didn't make a very good hammock this time, but anyway, you get the idea. So the arms and shoulders can really rest, and you can have your thumb there. I'm just now, I'd never thought of this before, but maybe there's a way to do a hammock so that sitting like this, which the elbow doesn't need to be out, it can be any part of the hand, close enough is fine. But it might, maybe some kind of, I don't know.
Like a sling.
Yeah, a sling. Yeah.
In which case, is it important which hand?
Either side is good. It's a little, there's a difference, but both are good. Yeah.
Which is the one for lower back pain?
Lower back pain, yeah. I mean, I do it sometimes lying on my side. The forehead in the middle of the neck. Maybe if you have your elbows on, you could lie back with your elbows on cushions, maybe.
Yeah.
It can be any part of the hand. It could be also like the side and the opposite side,
okay,
which gives a different angle. That one can be good. Also, the one that I showed, this, is good for the back, for the whole back. This is especially lower back.
Jay, what about the fingers? You said each finger is a treatment for something. This is for compulsive thinking.
Let's, for now,
okay,
say each finger is a treatment for 12,000 things. 12,000.
Okay. And is each hand a different treatment, depending on?
Yeah, kind
same?
Of.
Yeah?
Yeah,
oh.
I mean... Similar, different.
You have to experiment and see.
Yeah, it's like better to just do it and
yeah,
tell me afterwards.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's have some walking instructions, just standing, which is already, as Tamji mentioned, really helpful to mention. That, of course, we can meditate standing. And of course, the hands are available standing to do different things, like this, or this. So just standing and the chance to feel the feet, let the feet receive the body. And also maybe let the chest be received by the lower back. And then down into the heels. And again, just feeling how every little, even an inner gesture, can make a really big difference in what's happening and the quality of awareness. So, like relaxing the eyes and nose sort of back into the back of the head.
or feeling connection between the base of the rib cage, sternum, and the inner heels, arch of the foot. If you wish, just having the feet slightly apart, comfortably apart, the eyes closed. As if the body is made of water, which it is mostly. But almost a feeling of water in water, and just sort of as you let your weight move around, maybe from foot to foot or front to back or whichever. It's just like currents in the sea. Water flowing in water. And sometimes inviting the fluid sense of the body and feeling the feet, the powerful feet, kind feet, that the feet can kind of throw the current of the water across to the other side. Or pull it back towards the heels. And so there are probably infinite ways of kind of focusing the walking meditation. This is what I'm suggesting today, is that like a fluid body and feet, powerful, wide feet, intelligent and kind feet. So the intelligence of the feet, the wideness, the power, the here-ness, and all the sensations. But just if we can ask the feet happily to receive the weight of the body again and again, and feeling when the programming is kind of trying to hold something up away from the ground or the feet. So that's one way. And if you have your eyes closed and are just moving the weight of your body back and forth, that's almost walking. You can play with that and feel, if no, you'd really rather, it would feel really good to you to stay connected to the lower belly in walking as well as in the hall, or the whole back of the body, or this whole skin, or the whole body. So of course, go with your best intuition. And there's a couple of things that we can be aware of with walking meditation that are a bit different from the meditation in the hall. One, obviously, is the movement. And it can be really helpful to play with different speeds of walking. Partly because you'll notice different things, but in it, you can adjust according to your energy level inside. If you're feeling too stiff, then maybe going really fast or really slow, for example. If you're feeling really quiet, then really microscopically slow can be really fun. It can be this sort of intimacy that's, it really is erotic, feeling the toe come off the ground into the air, and then before it kisses the ground. So that whole world is there to be discovered. The movement can help reveal a really alive awareness that's not about controlling. So sometimes, as I said this morning in the movement, if we're only meditating in stillness, then usually we start to get a bit encrusted and we mix controlling into awareness. And when there's movement, there's too much to catch and hold on to and name and catalog the whole time. And so the fluid awareness is more noticeable and available and
that can be really helpful to bring back into the home. So, and then a second thing we can be aware of with walking is if we're just walking really simply, the formal walking meditation is finding a place to walk back and forth or in a circle. So you're not having to think about where to go. You're just walking. And so it's not really demanding physically, but you might find that after a while there's tension in different parts of the body, and that can be really helpful to know. And then ask that feeling, that part of the body, what does it know it needs? And letting that unfold. A third thing about walking is that mostly you'd walk with your eyes open, please. Sometimes when you're going slowly and you kind of are pretty sure you're not near a snake's home or whatever, it can be great to walk with the eyes closed for a few steps, but not sort of on an edge or whatever, please. If anything happens to any one of us, the whole is affected for not only this year, but every year to come. But with the eyes open, first we could feel what happens when the eyes are open. If there's a tension and reaching out through the eyes, we can keep practicing letting that rest back. And then when you, out of the corner of your eye, see another person, what happens? A wanting to be seen, a wanting not to be seen, a wanting to be approved of or respected or ignored or whatever. Just feeling that in the body, that apparatus. And then feeling for a place of more ease. That we're kind of here with a kind of contract to let each other be. We're all allowed to be different, to be ourselves, and to be at ease. Including having these reactions to each other. But not buying into it, neither as a problem nor as a truth, but as fascinating. How we are sure that that person hates us or loves us or whatever. And just feeling how the body resonates with the untruth of that. How the imagination nature of that. How the imagination feels in the body, the untruth. And the last thing we can play with is that just the mental impulse, the communication from the mind to the body to move. So lift the foot, to move it forward, to put it down, etc. And it's not something that can be caught. It's very, very fast, but we can start to get a sense of that. Mm. Sometimes by just playing with this kindergarten game of like, okay, lift your foot. You're telling yourself to lift your foot. And you do, and you're telling yourself to lift your foot, and you do, and you're telling yourself to lift your foot, and you don't. And you can feel before the muscle contraction what's sort of zik telling the muscle to contract. Muscles. And just letting that be part of the flow rather than a non-flow. And that can be really helpful as a practice as there starts to be more experience and then expertise with that, to catch the impulse before we say that thing or do that thing, and even eventually before we think that thought. And it can just be like, nah, it's about to happen, nah. Or it's about to happen and usually we'd stop it, and yeah, it's out of our mouth, and it's good. Yes.
Can you please repeat the instruction for that last one? So you say,
oh, well, so first, or at some point, it can be cool to even just move a finger or an arm or the foot. And you're playing, okay, now I'm going to lift my arm, and you lift your arm. Now I'm going to lower my arm. Now I'm going to lift my arm, and you don't. And there's a lot that goes on in there, but we can get a sense of a zip. Like a kind of lightning impulse to move that isn't a thought or an image or a movement. It's in the department of mind, not body,
But it feels like a mind-body sort of zip. Yeah.
So is that to distinguish between the programming movements and programming behaviors of body and mind, to distinguish to the inner, more authentic self?
Well, this movement? Catching this impulse, like receiving the experience of that impulse, can help us sometimes start to feel when a program is about to be turned on.
When it first wants to do something,
yeah.
Then the mind says, oh, you should not, what would the other, whatever. Okay.
So the impulse is obeying the programming, and we can feel it and be like, nah.
And it can be the other way around also, that the mind would say, I would need to move like this or do like this.
Then there can be a non-programmed impulse where the programming would be to say, no, 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 that's not safe, that's not allowed, that's embarrassing, whatever. And we can feel both the impulse to do something wholesome or say or whatever, and we can feel the impulse to stop it. And then we can say, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I agree to that bit of freedom, to be kind. Okay. Anything else?